Consciously Co-Creating Our Reality, The Mystic and the Magus, Leo Adams, FRC.
Hello, and may your autumn harvest be very fruitful. I'm Leo Adams, a longtime Rosicrucian student across many lifetimes, and I hope you get something out of today's presentation on consciously co-creating our reality. Consciously co-creating our reality, being the mystic and the magus. Today I will share some esoteric and practical elements of how we can co-create with the divine at all levels, every day, every moment. And I will also share some of these processes for co-creating from a Rosicrucian and Kabbalistic perspective. The mystic focuses on oneness with the divine. The magus focuses on directing the divine will into manifestation. And I suggested to you today in this message to be both the mystic and the magus as a co-creator for our shared reality. First, let's get some of these principles or laws on the table because it's very significant. Being a student of the Rosicrucian philosophy can easily be reduced down to learning and understanding natural laws and how we can use and live in alignment with them. And let me touch on some of these fundamental principles that I have up. And oh, by the way, everything that I present today will tie back to these fundamental laws. Everything has rhythm and cycles. Everything is vibration. Everything is changing. And everything is connected. And I'm going to share this little, this concept very briefly. This concept has appeared in lots of Rosicrucian publications and so forth. The story behind it is it's not easy, but it is actually very simple. In this image that I have up, the rose gives honey to the bee. It includes a cross at the bottom, symbolizing the hardships of the material life. And the blossoming rose above it represents the opening of your heart and the radiance of your soul that lies within each of us. The bees are seen working incessantly to extract nourishment from the rose in order to create sweet honey. So through our hard work, we can receive wisdom directly from the master within. And through this alchemical process, experience the sweetness of life. So let's get focused or refocused with our great work as cosmic busy bees. What about this idea of the mastery of life on Earth? Yes, very esoteric and easier said than done. Well, according to the Rosicrucian ideal, each person should attempt by every means ethical, moral, and cosmically approved to succeed in life, to enjoy health, happiness, material comforts, and comforts of the physical existence, and to attain spiritual peace and attunement. It's almost our obligation, if you will. That's why we're here. And in fact, the Rosicrucians have always held that to truly fulfill the mission of our existence here on Earth and thereby carry out the divine will, we should neither slight nor negate the material or worldly obligations that are incumbent upon all of us. We should meet them master them, and make an imminent success of our earthly life. And this is from H. Spencer Lewis, of course, and the Rosicrucian Principles for Home and Business, still very applicable today. We're taught in our Rosicrucian studies that every thought, word, and action can cause change, reactions, or manifestations. We are taught to be conscious in thought, word, and deed. And I ask myself, why do these natural laws work the way they do, even if we're not conscious? And the reality is that we are spiritual beings in a physical world of amazing potential and possibilities. We can sit around and ponder, daydream, talk a lot, gossip, wait for something to change or happen, and so on and so on. We can work very hard and incessantly to make things happen, to build cities, to make changes, to make lots of money, or just to have a good time with all the hard work. But imagine a world where we used everything we know esoterically about our oneness. All is mind, everything is connected, to create our shared reality consciously and constructively. And this world that I speak of here and now, I will ask you to look beyond what you can see with your eyes right now and know that a majority of the all or the cosmic, whatever words you want to use, is much, much more than we see in the resulting physical world. I have to touch on this thing I and many people have called our great work. It's pretty significant. And this all that I speak of, it can be seen through your heart and through your mind's eye, and it can be felt and known to various degrees. But we are taught as Rosicrucian students that it's much easier to know thyself than to try and know the entire cosmic. And to quote many people from before and within the Rosicrucian order, know thyself and thou shalt know the universe and the gods. And while we explore thyself and become one with the master within, we will come to know the cosmic, the all, God, like I said, whatever word you want to use, as we know ourselves and be as gods. This quest towards understanding and union is the great work of the mystic. And with this understanding and oneness, it is the great work of the magus to consciously co-create here and now on earth as it is in heaven. This can only be done through mastery of self and a cosmic alchemical marriage of oneness within and out. I suggest to you today, be the mystic and the magus. Ascend your consciousness in reunion while manifesting in your daily life. Now I share this well-known axiom, I'm sure you've seen, as above, so below. And I'll share a couple other lesser-known axioms from the Hermetic Kabbalion, all is one and all is mind. If everything is happening on all levels, above and below, if you will, and if we truly understand and communicate within and with our higher self or consciousness, and everything is connected as one, then we should be able to create anything on any level, the cosmic, the divine, the mind, the astral, and most importantly, the physical. As most of you know, this is easier said than done. But why? Well, all things in the physical world must follow not only these natural laws that I've referenced and shared, but also physical and metaphysical laws of our objective reality. There are many things in our physical world that are possible, but some are more probable. And you say, well, how can I move mountains or even easier, create health, wealth, harmony, or anything else in my life in this amazing world of possibility? Well, listen carefully to these words. If you start by creating in the highest levels of the cosmic, and after the energy or idea flows downwardly through the mind and astral, most of the important work is already done. By the time it manifests into the physical universe on Earth, it's done. It's already in motion. Waiting until it gets into the physical, you will basically get what shows up. And that's the difference between conscious co-creation and just doing stuff. You must be active, receptive, and perceptive all at once, all the time, everywhere, on all levels. So, Alice, here we go down the rabbit hole of consciously co-creating on all levels with the divine cosmic as one. The path of the mystic is to return to a state of perfection and reunion through mastery of self. All Rosicrucian students know this path and activity works towards a reunion of oneness with the cosmic and one's higher self, or we say the master within. Through personal exploration, meditation, inner awareness, transformation, and enlightenment, you will not find the answers in books or presentations, but only by practice and looking within. This process of reunion, or from a perspective of the Kabbalah, ascending the tree of life, is the path of the mystic. From a Kabbalistic interpretation of the Genesis story of the Bible, the journey back to the source is protected by an angel with a sword swinging to and fro, back and forth, to keep the unworthy out of the Garden of Eden, or oneness, perfection. It means the journey to the source will not be easy, and maybe not for everyone in this incarnation. This process involves knowing thyself and attuning within the master within, knowing that you are truly one with the all. Sometimes your doubt, fear, and ego will give the illusion of separation from the all, but understand and be one with the cosmic as the mystic. The regular practice of meditation, devotion, and service will assist in this process of reunion and lead to the understanding and wisdom and knowledge. It's one of our great purposes of the great work. And this really is the basis of your great work as the mystic. And while I refer to this process as reunion, it primarily refers to your state of consciousness as you are already one with the all, and you just have to wake up. And many traditions call this enlightenment. First, and most importantly, before you start on your conscious efforts of co-creating, listen to the master within. Trust your intuition and your heart. Meditate regularly. Be conscious and aware in every moment. Think, speak, and act consciously. Consult the master within every moment continuously as one. There can be no doubt nor fear. It's has to be based on love of your soul and your oneness. You are the master within. Just be the master within. Now let's move on to this practical process of consciously co-creating. Some of you may know this symbol as the Star of David, or in Hebrew, Megan David, or the Shield of David. And you could interpret it as God as David's shield. This symbol has been used in many cultures and traditions other than Judaism for thousands of years. And the Rosicrucians, the Martinists, the Kabbalists, and many other esoteric traditions have seen this as a union as the above and the below, the higher and the lower, the inner and the outer. The symbol was also used in Islam. Hinduism, it was called Shatkona and used in as a, which you call a mandala, that represents the union of both the masculine and feminine form. And more specifically, in the Eastern system, it's a Purusha. It's the supreme being, and also the Prakriti, which is the mother nature or casual matter. So it can represent a lot of things in the Hindu system. And yes, sometimes associated with Shiva and Shakti and Kumara, but it's also used in Buddhism, where it's used as an aid in meditation to achieve a sense of peace and harmony. The Hermeticists and the Gnostics saw this as a union between the masculine and feminine principles of life and the universe and all creations. The alchemists felt the star symbolized nature, and the two interlocked triangles represented the four principles of fire or elements of fire, water, air, and earth. I personally refer to this sacred symbol as the star of creation. And that's significant for many reasons, which I will share. A lot of them are too detailed to get into, but I hope you capture of how this ties in to this co-creative energy. The concept of co-creation is simple, but not always easy. Live and be present in the above and below, embrace the positive and the negative in all creation, and create a third thing by the union of polarities. The cosmic mind that I referenced earlier and the universe, it is your cosmic womb. Make every thought and action, as I've said a couple of times here in the Grand Master, it's all about a conscious thought and action. At the highest levels, possibly, and as a partner in co-creation. You can use a symbol in your co-creative exercises for focus as a reminder that everything occurs on many levels, and the union in alignment of these levels can assist you in your great work. Make sure everything you think, do, are in alignment with your true happiness and peace profound, whatever that is to you. You will know when you're co-creating and in alignment, because even though you need to do your daily part in your work, in the work in co-creating, you will see that your efforts are much easier and you're surrounded by these unexpected or unplanned opportunities or serendipitous experiences. And I know everyone has been there. It's where you know you're getting help from your higher self and the cosmic as a co-creator. Just pay attention. When it comes to co-creating, anything is possible, but some things are more probable. Actually, everything we create is really part of a co-creation process. The question becomes, are you consciously participating and directing? If you actively do anything in thought, word, and action, things will happen. Will it be exactly how your lower self or ego wanted it? or even expected it to be, maybe, maybe not. But heed my advice, as it is most probably what you needed to experience based on your actions and thoughts, as well as where you are in life and what plans your master within and higher self have established for this incarnation, or maybe this moment. Everything is rhythm and cycles. Just pay attention, reflect, learn, key, adjust. Everything is cause and effect. Everything is changing. Be an active, conscious being in the art and science of co-creation. Now, let me address a few practical elements of the act of manifestation. We create everything that we have around us, and this may be a tough pill to swallow. And ask yourself, do you just wait around for things to happen or come to you? You could, maybe if you're a rock, but we're not. And we are conscious beings. And so we should be conscious and take advantage of this co-creative power, if you will, that we've inherited as beings, enlightened beings. So that thought, word, and action, while it sounds repetitive and maybe very primitive, it's significant. And before you start your co-creative experience, ask yourself, are you creating for yourself, others, mankind, or other living creatures? Are you creating or acting on behalf of the earth or the environment? The material world is constrained by time and space. The objective world or perceived reality is much more than meets the senses. And this is the key. Manifestation occurs on much more than the material plane. Your higher self and divine cosmic will and love must be in full alignment for that which you wish to create. If you're not into it, you probably should pick another target. Your lower ego and self rarely knows what you truly want and even need. And this co-creation with the divine cosmic does not like work like dropping a coin into a wishing well or even putting a picture onto a vision board. Nope. The astral plane is littered with idle dreams and feeble wishes. It takes conscious effort and work in heart and mind. The Magus knows this practical, these practice skills of concentration, focus, and will are a key to co-creating. And it's much easier when you start with the co-creation process with a vision on the divine or mental planes before it's physical, and it must be in alignment with cosmic will and natural law. Make note of the tarot key on the slide there of the magician or the Magus. The Magus is only a conduit for creation. For the wand is the connector to the source and the cosmic, and the pointing of the Magus finger is consciously directing to the manifestation on earth. There is no Magus without the union of the cosmic. This process of co-creation usually takes time, energy, and conscious effort. It may and usually requires some physical effort or action. It may be in alignment with the divine. It must be in divine alignment with divine will and natural law. And it should be in alignment with your higher self and true will. You must see it and feel it with your mind and with your heart. From a Kabbalistic perspective, which is really no different than our Rosicrucian teachings of manifestation or co-creation, using meditative techniques, except for a few different words, levels, or concepts, but the process is the same, and the source is the same. Now, let me share a traditional Kabbalistic tree of life diagram, and this is not meant to be a lesson on the Kabbalah. However, everything I will share correlates back to this Kabbalistic tradition and its principles. And understand the Tree of Life is simply a tool, it's a map, it's a diagram to symbolically and simplistically represent the cosmic or the universe on all levels, within and out. Now, let me show you the different levels of creation within the Kabbalistic viewpoint and upon the Tree of Life diagram. Here we go. I'll move from the static diagram to a process of creation and manifestation from the source, as we understand it Kabbalistically, from these flowing through these 10 emanations, or we call them Sephira. And they all start with this divine, or this cosmic, this top sphere, if you will. And they flow downward from right to left, back and forth, all the way to the manifest physical. The path of the flaming sword is depicted in red. But let me show you the flow of all creation from a Kabbalistic viewpoint. And this is why and how everything we do affects everything on all levels. Everything flows from the one source, Kether. Then through Chokhmah, the Supernal Father, the first idea, thought, or thing from the cosmic. And through Bina, the Supernal Mother. And flowing downward across this abyss from the cosmic into the universal mind, the manifest world of Hesed, love, then on to Geburah and to strength and the active principle towards the manifest. At this point, most of the things are already in motion. So if you don't get started at the highest levels, it could be too late. So you have to start with that bit, that highest idea or vision. And then moving down to Tiferet, where the beauty and light come visible to those who have entered the door of enlightenment and Christ consciousness, if you will, to use that term. And we do the final assessment within our heart of worthiness. And then down through Netzach and Yod, where things are pretty much set and where your emotions and fears or egos and thoughts can get in the way. This is where the worrying and doubt occurs and goes back to that principle. Know yourself, be true, know it is done. And then the last stop before the physical is Yesod, where your spiritual essence could be challenged and or your vision has become real on all levels. And finally, in Malkuth, where the physical becomes real, and this is where you have to pay attention in your daily life. It's real. You pay attention to the serendipitous moments and everything. And these Kabbalistic worlds that I'm speaking of, they have some Hebrew names, which I'm not going to share today or throw that into the mix. But I do want to show you that these separations are really just notations, and they're really one unified world. And we only separate it Kabbalistically for communications. But going back to the Rosicrucian principles, they're just different frequencies of harmonization. And this top world that I mentioned is called the world of emanation or the cosmic divine, mental, you could call it a lot of different words. It's where ideas are transformed into concepts. And the third level, it's the world of formation or the astral, is where things move from ideas and concepts into design or elements that can be manifest, become manifest. And then finally, the lower realm of action on the physical, where situations or things become part of our objective reality on earth, where we actually make things happen in the physical realm. And you might say this all sounds vague and etheric, but let me show you just a very practical example. Whether you're creating a situation or an object to manifest. And let me just show you. I'm going to take the case of an object and in the manifestation of, or this idea of creating a concept of sitting. And these ideas flow down into this next thing of possibility, this this maybe it goes from just resting my legs down to now I need to come up with a device or something, and you don't know quite what it is. And you work this at the highest levels in your meditation. And then you move one step further and it's like you come up with some design ideas for a chair possibly. And then finally, you have to do the physical work and build the chair. So it doesn't just happen automatically. You have to be an active co-creator. In closing, let me review or summarize this process in principles. Start with, why are you doing this? And are you sure? Have you consulted the higher self within, in consciousness, mind, and heart? Be clear and know it is done. Know it with the imagination and vision and heart of a child. Know it with a passion and clarity. Focus on what, not necessarily the how and details. And work towards that vision with a passion and consciousness on the earthly plane. And it will be. The Rosicrucian method of meditating has two phases. There's the active phase, where you consider the purpose of your meditation and you ask the master within some basic questions about your intent. You seek out the worthiness and so forth. Have that conversation. And once you have that conversation, you move to the second phase, where we call it the passive phase, where you should ask the master within for guidance and understanding. And this is where you have to just let it go, release it to the cosmic. Know that it's done. If you don't do that, you're going to be worrying about it. Now, that doesn't mean stop doing what you're supposed to be doing in the physical world. You still have to get busy. Today, we don't have time for an experiment, but I'll just share this step-by-step. For you can do it in your, I call it your homework, if you will. The steps that I've just covered very quickly, these steps, if you do this, is a very well-known Rosicrucian practice, and it works. You don't have to remember anything I said today. This process is proven. My final words are, be the mystic and be the magus in your daily and personal life as the active co-creator and as one with the cosmic.